All right, listeners, I want to tell you about an insane deal that I have for you. For 2 days only, Bluehost is slashing their prices for web hosting to $2.95 a month. That is the cheapest price you're ever going to see. And you can take advantage of it because you're a listener of the Battle for Liberty. The deal runs Monday, June 26, 2017, to Tuesday, June 27, 2017. Anytime during those 2 days, head over to battleforliberty.com/blue to grab that deal before it expires. That's battleforliberty.com/blue. The Battle for Liberty, episode 42.
This is the Battle for Liberty.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Battle for Liberty. Once again, I'm your host, Mike Tilden. Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast dedicated to the journey of the libertarian novice. Don't ever miss an episode of The Battle for Liberty. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and you'll automatically receive every episode as soon as it's released. It couldn't be easier. All right, well, President Donald Trump recently announced a plan to privatize the air traffic control system in the United States. And upon hearing that news, a budding libertarian might be inclined to pop the corks off the champagne bottles and start partying like the revolution is about to begin. Well, not so fast, says Captain Dave, our resident airline industry expert. You should recall that Captain Dave last joined us for episode 34, in which we discussed the fiasco of the United Airlines forcibly removing someone from their airplane. Well, Captain Dave's back, and he's going to help us sort out this privatization scheme that President Trump has talked about. Now, Captain Dave is a commercial airline pilot with over 7 years' experience, flying both narrow and wide-body jets all over the world. He's also a Rothbardian-style voluntarist with a knack for applying libertarian principles to complex political topics. So, Captain Dave, welcome back to the Battle for Liberty.
Mike, it's good to be back.
Yeah, thanks so much. I know you're squeezing us in here on a pretty long trip, so we're going to get right down to this. The Trump administration has announced that it wants to privatize air traffic control across the United States. Now, before we get into the details of that plan, I was hoping that as an expert in the airline industry that you might be able to tell us a little bit about the air traffic control system as it currently stands today. So when we refer to air traffic control, what are we actually talking about?
Absolutely, Mike. And first, I just want to say, ask for a little grace here and with not having slept at all really for the last 24 hours. But I'm going to try to muscle through this. The current air traffic control system, believe it or not, it actually does work okay. It works pretty well. And I have a lot of respect for controllers. We have basically two different kinds of air traffic control. You have local control and you have en route control. The local control is going to control all the airport, all the traffic on an airport, in the vicinity of an airport, so on and so forth. Of a primary airport, which is, you know, I'm in Los Angeles right now. So Southern California approach, SoCal approach controls all the traffic really at low altitudes in the Southern California, Los Angeles, Palm Springs area. You also then have en route control or air route traffic control center. And they control traffic that's in more rural areas, far away from primary populated areas, as well as the traffic at high altitudes. I forget how many, but there's 20 or so centers, air route traffic control centers in the United States. So that's kind of a quick overview of what the current system looks like. Basically, you take off at an airport. The local control hands you off to the en route center. Then when you get to your destination, they hand you back off to the local control at the new destination.
Okay, so what you're saying is there's kind of a piecemeal of different systems all across the country that work in coordination with each other.
That is correct. Everybody has their sector, and you move from one boundary, one sector to another. A given controller will be controlling maybe up to 10, 15 airplanes. It really depends on where you are. In New York and Los Angeles, controllers very well could have more. But it does become a high workload situation for them, and they begin dividing them up into smaller sectors.
And who is currently running air traffic control? I mean, what is it governed by?
The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, runs air traffic control. Like I said, the controllers do a really good job. Now, the Trump administration might be getting a little bit ahead of myself, but the Trump administration is right in saying that the innovation is not there. They are not good at accomplishing goals and deadlines that they have set for modernization. And so there are some definite problems, but we have an incredible safety record here, and I certainly don't want to bash the people that work in air traffic control. They do a fine job. Today, we're just kind of talking about we want to talk about the proposal, the current system, and then also I'd love to give you some of my ideas of what it could look like in a completely free market.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to get to that. I think to myself, it goes without saying, but then of course I'm going to say it. So I don't think any reasonable libertarian believes that just because in our ideal world we would like to privatize everything, that doesn't mean that there aren't good people doing good jobs provided by federal, state, or local government. Certainly, there are great individuals in all of these organizations that are doing their best, and many of them have no idea that the monopolistic tendencies of a government actually have negative side effects. So all that being said, I mean, I think it's really important, especially for some of my listeners who maybe are new to libertarianism, to remember that just because you want to change a state-run organization doesn't mean that you vilify the people who currently work there. They could be doing just as good of a job, if not better, if it were private and if it were allowed to function via a profit and loss system. And we can go into that ad nauseum, but I'm sensitive to what you're saying. I mean, you're working with these people, and you know my history as a law enforcement officer, we both know there's good people trying to do a good job. It's just a lack of education. I mean, do you have anything to add to that?
Not really. I mean, I think there are a lot of other government employees. They don't really provide a service. I really do think that the controllers, they do provide a great service. They help me out every day when I'm, whether I'm navigating weather or traffic or whatever. They do a great job, and they do go out of their way to help us, give me shortcuts, whatever. So, so the job they're doing, I think there's absolutely a market for the job that they are doing. We just believe that it can be done better in a free market.
Amen. So let's get into the Trump plan now. What does the Trump plan want to do? What has he proposed?
The Trump plan, if you go on the website, on whitehouse.gov, he has an outline of his proposal, and there are actually some good things in here. One line here that I actually really like: this proposal demonstrates that the federal government does not have to supply all the resources required to develop and maintain our nation's vast infrastructure. I absolutely agree with that. The federal government doesn't need to carry that role. The general idea is that they want to replicate a system that has been done in other countries. And what that has looked like in Canada, they have NAV Canada, and then in Europe, Eurocontrol, so on and so forth. The governments have basically created a company or contracted with a company to run their air traffic control system. They work well. I would say their technology is probably better than ours here in the United States. They're using they get a lot more information from aircraft transponders, and we can kind of get into the regulatory issues behind that. Don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole. That'll just bore your listeners. But they do a fine job. The problem that I have with that is the governments are designating a private company as basically their agent that has the operational authority of a government. You know, they can charge their own prices. That I don't have a problem with. My problem is that it's still a coercive agent of the government.
Yeah, and I guess my first initial question, anytime I hear a government bureaucrat, whether it's, you know, the top bureaucrat in the president or, you know, a local bureaucrat, town council person, whenever they say they want to privatize something, my very first question is, okay, will it be open to competition?
And that's the key problem here. There is no competition. Now, there might be competition for the government contract. Maybe Lockheed Martin will bid and Northrop Grumman will bid. Now, I'm not sure exactly how it'll work because the proposal does say that it has to be a not-for-profit deal. So I don't know exactly what that would look like, but I still have a suspicion that it would probably end up with Lockheed or Grumman, which are, you know, big government contractors in the aerospace industry.
And I think it's important that we remember or call attention to the fact that this is precisely where the deception is occurring, because they claim that this is privatization, but in actuality, it's just shifting the control from a government agency to a specifically selected crony agency that happens to operate in the private sector. But once selected, no one has any choice but to use them. And so you have to ask yourself, is there really competition here? Is this really private?
No, once that contract is awarded, there would not be competition because, you know, in Canada, you have NAV Canada. They run the air traffic control across the whole country and Eurocontrol in Europe. And I think that judging by the proposal put forth by the Trump administration, that's the model they want to have. And I will say it's not horrible in relative to what we have here. I do think there are some significant downsides, but let's talk a minute about what it could look like in a free market. And I think it all comes down to private property. As far as local control, I think you can easily have the airports run their own air traffic control, and that can be a source of competition even amongst airports, whether or not they want to have control or the depth of control. It does get into a little bit of a trickier area when you start talking about en route control, because how do you claim control? How do you claim ownership of vast areas of the United States and vast chunks of airspace in the United States? I don't think you can. However, I do believe that the airlines want to have air traffic control because it does increase safety. Having radar services and a controller looking out and understanding the big picture that I don't necessarily see as a pilot. So I think there is a significant market. And to that extent, I think there can be competition. You can have Company A and Company B and Company C. They all provide radar services, and some might be better at certain things. And we already see that to a certain degree in weather providers. One of the big weather providers that we use is WSI. They provide a great service, but there are others. So there are options for competition in there. And I think that this would really provide a incredible way for the technology to grow by getting the government out to mandate certain standards, when in reality, a free market can develop, and the technology is already there, by the way, for transponders in the aircraft to basically talk to each other and kind of provide passive separation between aircraft. And then if aircraft get close, they can basically divert aircraft away from each other. We already have that with traffic collision avoidance systems where the airplane will literally tell me traffic, descend, and it will tell me exactly how much I need to descend. It's incredible technology, and I think that this can be applied to the greater airspace system.
Let's take a quick break for this message. Hey there, listener. I sure hope you've been enjoying this episode of The Battle for Liberty. If you find value in this program and you want it to continue, I want to ask you to consider supporting the show by becoming a supporting patron. Support from listeners like you is what keeps this show in production. Without my patrons, I wouldn't be able to keep the lights on. You can support the show by donating as little as $1 per month. Any amount is helpful, really. Plus, when you support the show, you gain access to great benefits available only to my patrons, including access to the Battle for Liberty bonus episodes and even free merchandise. I bet you had no idea there were bonus episodes. Well, there are, but you gotta be a patron to earn access to them. So head on over to battleforliberty.com/support right now. That's battleforliberty.com/support. Yeah, I think technology is definitely going to be a part of it. I also think it's important to remember that just because you or I or a government council can't put our finger right now on exactly how the system would shake out, that's not a reason to endorse the state taking a monopoly and trying to do a centralized top-down solution. And we see this time and time again. I mean, just because I lack the imagination to think about how the market might respond doesn't mean the market won't respond. And in fact, the market is quite good at surprising us with innovation and things that we probably wouldn't have thought about and that no bureaucrat could ever think about and could pre-plan, which is, of course, why libertarians are against central planning in the first place. So I think you've nailed it with how the market would respond and kind of how I think of it. And please tell me if you think this is not a good analogy. But when I was thinking about this before we spoke to each other, all I could think about was if I have a package and I want to send it from where I live in the center of the country to, say, someone in New York City. Well, I don't own the property between here and New York City. I have to trust an agent to take care of this package for me. And so I pick a private carrier, whether it's FedEx or UPS or DHL or, heaven forbid, the Postal Service. and they act as my agent. And so I can imagine in a free market a system whereby, whether it's insurance companies acting on behalf of airlines or banks acting on behalf of whatever holding company owns the airplane that you're flying, saying this piece of property is very valuable, and in order to get it from A to B, we are going to put our brains together and come up with a way to keep it safe. I think the market would come up with a way to solve this problem. What do you say?
Well, I absolutely agree, but I also want to mention that I think that this gets to a common misconception of libertarianism and even anarchism, that we believe that we are fine with chaos. I don't believe that it would result in chaos. I believe we would still have regulation. Airlines, I think, would be accredited by some airlines in America group or something. And I really do believe that that the standards required would include air traffic services from a free market air traffic control company.
Yeah, and this is a really important point, because right after you say something like that, I know I've got some listeners going, okay, well, that's all well and good for you to say it might happen, but give me an example in the real world where it has happened, and I can give you one. I work in the medical industry, specifically medical devices, and one of the organizations that provides accreditation is a private entity, and it is a grouping of all of the medical device companies coming together and laying out for the industry what the safety standards should be. And those are the safety standards that are followed. And sure, the government has tacked on in the aftermath and said, okay, we're going to adopt these standards too. But it was the private organization, the voluntary coming together of companies, that said, we need a safety standard. So it does happen. And the exact same thing could happen for air traffic.
Absolutely. I completely agree. The airlines, which, don't get me wrong, the airlines are no model of free market. Of free market policy, but they do a great job in researching fatigue, different technology improvements, so on and so forth. So there are some great things that the airlines do with regard to research that are done independently of the government.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess what we have to say, that this comes down to the state trying to pull the wool over on us. Because when you see a headline in, say, I don't know, USA Today that says President Trump wants to privatize air traffic control, the point that you brought up to me, which is what gave me the impetus to have you on to talk about this, is that we need to say not so fast. This does not represent true privatization as a libertarian might want. And so that brings me to my next question. Let's say that we accept that the Trump plan isn't privatization as a libertarian would want it to be, but why wouldn't we just accept the incrementalism? Why wouldn't we go along with it and stop being curmudgeon-y and just accept this as a step towards a free and open market in air traffic control? What's the danger to accepting this incrementalism?
Well, I think that there are some good things that come out of this this type of change. Technology improvements, I do think, would be quicker under this kind of system. I think we've seen that in Europe and Canada. But there are also some drawbacks that I think offset a lot of those gains. And I think the most obvious example is general aviation is virtually non-existent in Europe. It's not quite as bad in Canada, but it's certainly not as big as it was here, or as it is here, and even here in the United States, it's quickly declining. However, with general aviation in decline, it's happening because this is a private company that is able to set standards with their technology to require their technology improvement. So it's a double-edged sword. Yes, the technology is wonderful, but now we're putting a burden upon private pilots and you know companies to upgrade their equipment, even if they don't necessarily want to, if they want to fly anywhere near controlled airspace. It's not like you have the option to avoid it. In a free market, I do think that it could get a little dicey, but we talked about those technology improvements that would allow more passive air traffic control. But in this system, you're going to have basically the same type of airspace. We have the same kind of airspace in Canada and Europe, where you are required, if you were anywhere near these airports, to talk to them. And so that creates a big obstacle to freedom of the skies.
Okay, so you had also talked a little bit previously on a forum that we're on together. You had talked about one of the dangers of accepting this incrementalism as when certain things change in a way that the public may feel is negative. A great example you just brought up is maybe a decline in general aviation. Wouldn't that just be the perfect opportunity for statists to say, see what happens when something gets privatized? It all goes to heck.
Yeah, and it's not privatization at all. We're showing that this is a crony system that favors the big airlines, and airlines are needed. I'm not trying to villainize the airlines, but they are certainly the biggest users of the national airspace system. So I think as libertarians, we need to demonstrate that privatization is not just picking some company to do the government's job, but we're trying to say, well, the government's job should not exist in any sort of coercive manner, where the task that they're accomplishing can be done without coercion.
Yeah, and I think you've really dialed into a point that I read about in, there's an article that I'm going to link to on the show notes page from economicpolicyjournal.com. It says why Donald Trump's air traffic controller privatization is a scam. And I think you've just put your finger on this here, and I'm just going to quote from it. The article draws a line between what it calls kind of fake privatization, which is what we've talked about, and real privatization. And it says, under real privatization, the president would simply announce to the airlines and to the world, 1 year from now, the government is getting out of air traffic control business. Good luck with coming up with your own system. I look forward to seeing how creative and innovative you'll get. What do you think of that?
I mean, I love it personally. I absolutely love it. I think it's wonderful. That's a tough thing to sell, though. I think that's, as libertarians, we need to learn how to market our position better. And I'm not great at that. But we need to be able to quickly and attractively show why this is better, why this helps the consumer, why we can still have an incredibly safe system. I think it's a great idea. I just, libertarians are going to love it, but that's going to terrify other people.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. The libertarian movement in general is terrible at marketing because libertarians tend to focus more on logic and reason, which are fairly dry and only appeal to a certain portion of the population. And I don't mean to say anything disparaging here about the majority of the population, but I think study after study bears out that most people are affected by emotions, and libertarians don't quite understand, for the most part, how to capture those emotions in order to change someone's mind. And I think that's exactly what's going on here. I agree with you. I actually, when I read that quote about, okay, in a year we're getting out of the air traffic control business, I know how large corporations work. I think it would have to be something like, okay, in 5 years, because it would take a long time, I think, for the companies to go from a system that's totally run by the government to a system that is completely devoid of the government, which of course is not what's happening under this proposed plan.
No, and I think that hits on an important point, that the services that are provided by the FAA through air traffic control are essential services. You can't just cut them out completely, because they would exist in a free market. You have to figure out how to transition the services into a voluntary free market solution.
Yeah, I think that is exactly what we need to be doing. Okay, last question. Recently, it has come out that the Senate subcommittee, I can't remember which one it is, but the Senate subcommittee that would be in charge of bringing this initiative forward has said they don't have the votes to even get it out of committee, let alone vote on it in the Senate. So keeping that in mind, do you think this thing is dead in the water?
It's difficult to say. Bad ideas tend to have their way of making it through, if not now, certainly down the road. I personally think it's only a matter of time, but we'll have to wait and see. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know either. There's been some chatter that they'll try to bring it up in the House so that it can get out of the committee in the House and then find its way to the president's desk through that route. But no matter how it happens, at the end of the day, I think I'm with you in my analysis, and that is, the danger here is that it's not real privatization and that there will be some negative effects. And then when those negative effects come forward, people will be quick to decry that, well, privatization is what got us into this mess, and that will be an excuse for even more government, because this privatization is just more government masked in the words of privatization.
Yeah, I'm just hesitant to have change for the sake of change. I think that if we're going to do something radical to change the system, it should be a very good, very well thought out solution that's not going to create, you know, 10 more problems for every problem it fixes. And I think that that's what we're looking at here. Yeah, there are some good things. I like some of the ideas that are outlined in this proposal. But I think in the end, it misses the mark and it is not true privatization.
Well, I think we're going to end it there. I know you're on a very long trip and you need to go get some sleep for your next leg. And we want you to do that and we want you to be safe. So we'll say thank you for your time and your expertise. It's always a pleasure having you on. And, you know, I forgot to say in the beginning that you are the very first repeat guest on the Battle for Liberty. So I truly appreciate you having that distinction.
Well, it's an honor to be back on and I'm happy to be here.
All right. Take care and safe flight.
Thanks.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's episode. As always, check out the show notes page at battleforliberty.com/42. There you'll find all of the links and references that we talk about for this episode, and you can also browse the other show notes pages for all of the links and references that we've talked about on every other episode. You'll also find information about connecting with the show on Twitter and Facebook, and you'll learn how to submit questions and topics for the show. Send us a positive review on iTunes or Stitcher. Let's get those 5-star ratings in the books. That will really help me out. Finally, make sure you refer your friends. Keep spreading the word about the Battle for Liberty. And until next time, battle on.